This is the Power Guys Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening. All right, so we're going to finish off this last part of boundaries in a somewhat unsuspecting way. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would teach us how we establish real boundaries in our life, even if sometimes it's the opposite of what we think we should do. Help us to keep in mind differences in love, the selfish kind or the one that's surrendered to you. And yeah, teach us today through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to continue on here. There are two main things in scripture that God says are the two greatest commandments. And we know what that is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when we're talking about boundaries, we're talking about watching our mouth, thinking about what it is we're sharing, keeping our focus on our purpose. These can all guard against unwanted alliances. But the last way that we keep up proper boundaries might be unexpected. It is to love those that are around us. But we have to qualify that. When we love someone, we love them enough to tell them the truth. We love them enough to be our authentic selves. We love them enough to be present. We love them enough to not sin against them. We love them enough that they can see what we're about. And that means that we're vulnerable. That means that we take great risk in getting ostracized, shunned, whatever it is. But we kid ourselves when we think that love is anything less than self-sacrificing. So we ended yesterday, Luke 8:9. His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is parables. So the seeing they may not see, and the hearing they may not understand." What he's referring to is plain old-fashioned, "I'm concerned about their eternal destination and what I throw at them now, without their understanding being enlightened, could condemn them." And so when he spoke in parables, it wasn't so that he could, in a worldly sense, establish a clique with the disciples. It was a love-driven desire not to pile on condemnation to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that was following him at that point. This is Jesus. They are standing in the presence of God, and no, they did not fully realize whose presence they were in. What he did here by speaking in parables was purely, unequivocally, 100% full-on love. when Moses went up to the mountain to see, God told basically the children of Israel, don't even touch this mountain. Don't even touch it. Stay away, you'll die. And so when Moses goes up, Moses is a godly man. Moses called. Moses is their leader. God turned his back, only allowed him to see his back. People were following for a number of reasons. We follow fads. We follow superstars. We follow Britney Spears, who seems to be locked up in no uncertain terms. We don't fully, they did not fully realize, and they were taking it pretty lightheartedly, whose presence they were in. And so he turned his back, as it were, and spoke in parables. He didn't actually turn his back. He shielded them. I'm just trying to paint a different picture. He shielded them from all the truth that could condemn them. He had picked his group of people to disciple. And hey, and further on in this same chapter, Jesus reveals to them that they're not, you know, number one on the faith list. They're not, you know, superstars here. He was building up a group of men to go out and proclaim the gospel. All of them would not make it out of the New Testament alive. They weren't there yet. But he had focused himself on them. Shielding the crowds. Sticking to his purpose. And thereby creating right boundaries. So what does that mean for me in my context? Going back, you know, if you really love your friends and you're really concerned about their eternity, you're going to tell them the truth. And it's going to divide. Jesus said, I did not come for a kumbaya session. I came to divide husband, wife, father, children, families. Why? Because when we all come together in our groupthink pattern or what's culturally relevant, our primary focus when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to the next fad, when it comes to, oh, this cool guy's healing people, and when it comes to the next thing everybody's jumping on board with, primarily, what are we thinking about? Ourselves. And so when we stop that pattern and we genuinely look at that person in our lives that we consider a friend, and it dawns upon us that we don't know where they're headed, that they haven't been promised tomorrow. When it dawns upon us, when we're like, well, this is, you know, these people are in my life, and I'm pretty sure it's not for me that they're in my life. I'm pretty sure that Jesus wants me to say something to them. Just this approach of I am concerned about you and your eternity is vastly different than the train wreck that's going on around us. What does scripture say? What the end times will be like? Everyone will be completely self-centered. And so when just one person decides, I'm going to start thinking about their eternal destination, you've already created a rift in this wide path going straight to H-E double hockey sticks. You've already turned from the flow, as it were. You've already stepped out of the normal. Jesus, all he does, read the rest of the chapter, chapter 8, is love other people. That is all he does, day in, day out. Meet needs, heal people, be concerned about people, be concerned about their eternal destination, be concerned about their faith. Test yourself. You honestly, the right people will stay in your life. The wrong ones will leave. Just by loving. And it seems antithetical. It seems totally mind-blowing that you would if one would lay down their life for their friend, forget about their pride, forget about their image, forget about what they might think, forget about all of that stuff, and be concerned about someone's spiritual well-being. You would think that would be accepted, but I'm telling you right now, that is the opposite of what is going on. That is the opposite of the standard MO. You'll be weird. Weird. But you have a healthy boundary. Peace out. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.